Well, you're listening to Connecting Faith, and we always love the opportunity to connect with friends who help us grow deeper in our faith and make the connection between faith and life. And today, we're going to talk more, as we have over the past few weeks, with Rick Mattson about how to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. And, you know, that doesn't just happen without some preparation and intention. You know, explaining why we believe and follow Jesus can be daunting at times, or maybe just getting into a spiritual conversation can trip us up. So we're going to get some practical approaches again about effectively sharing our faith with friends and neighbors who may be skeptical or have some questions. Rick Mattson's an apologist for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, where he served as a staff worker for about 3 decades now. He's author of Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. He's a frequent speaker in college and university campuses across the country. And we always love when he comes by today. Rick, good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you.
So today we wanted to just focus in. We've talked about maybe different ways that we can pray for and start conversations and some thresholds that people go through. But we want to share our story at some point in there, don't we?
I think so. And the old saying, no one can argue with your story, is true. But I think there's also biblical precedent for sharing stories. If you think about the stories of Jesus in the New Testament, the 4 gospel writers are storytellers. Mm-hmm. They don't just make arguments. Arguments are embedded, I think, in the gospels, but essentially they're giving the narrative of Jesus, his roots in the Jewish tradition, that being the Old Testament, his birth, his teaching, his rejection by really his own tradition, his death and resurrection. That's the story of Christ that they are telling. So what I think these writers are saying, in essence, I commend this man to you. I recommend him. He will inspire you. And they're trying to get their readers and listeners, it's an oral culture, so they're trying to get their listeners to consider the idea of Jesus. But he isn't just an idea. He is a story, and the person is embedded in that story. And so the writers want people to embrace that person by laying out the narrative of his life. And I think that's some of the biblical precedent that we have. And we almost don't see that sometimes, like, oh, yeah, the gospel writers, they just tell us about Jesus. Yes, it's the story of Jesus.
We used to use the word testimony, right? We're going to tell my testimony. But, I mean, that's not a bad word, is it?
Yeah, no, that's a really good word.
Yeah.
And I think churches and campus fellowships, like where we work in InterVarsity, to the extent that we feature people and their stories, their faith stories of how they've either met God or how God has worked in their lives lately, I think it's just so encouraging and so moving to people to hear the stories of others.
So we want to be able to share our story effectively. What does it need to include? How do we do that?
Yeah. Well, if you look at the Apostle Paul in Acts 26, he's before Agrippa, one of the rulers, and first Paul, when he gives his defense, he tells of his early life as a persecutor of Christians. So he's kind of a professional anti-Christian worker. And then he meets Jesus on the Damascus Road, and the scales come off, and it's a very dramatic conversion. So he mentions that in his testimony to Agrippa. And then he tells of his subsequent life after his conversion. Now I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm out promoting the message of Jesus. So it's kind of a before the change and after. And I don't know if you've ever seen kind of the Bill Hybels series on this. He talks about those 3 parts. What was your life like before you met Christ? And then what happened? How did it change? How did you meet Jesus? That's a story in itself quite often. And then how is your life different now that you are a follower of Christ and you're obeying him with your life? So it's the before, it's the change, and then it's the after. How is your life different? Those 3 parts. I think most of us can remember those 3 things as we construct a story, and I just really appreciate the simple way that Bill Hybels has put that for us.
Which is maybe one of the keys, that this doesn't have to be complicated. In fact, maybe simpler is sometimes better.
I think so. I was sitting on a train one day, and I got a chance to share my story with another person who was sitting next to me. Sometimes train and plane etiquette says you never talk. No way, I'm talking. So
good.
I want to see what the Holy Spirit is going to do here. So I just say, hey, how's it going? Where are you headed? What, have you seen the latest news or whatever? And then pretty soon you're into other issues, maybe politics or whatever, and then religion comes up, and then I can tell my story at some point. But I have a one-minute version of my story, so you can tell it quickly. I have a five-minute version, and then really people can talk about themselves for a long time, me included. So I could probably give a 10 or 15-minute testimony, but boy, that one-minute crisp testimony I think is really valuable in a lot of situations.
So, I mean, could you give us your one-minute, sort of the elevator version
of it?
I mean, what would you include in that? What would that sound like, look like?
Well, my life growing up in Marshall, Minnesota, son of a music teacher, we had a good home, and we actually went to church, Neil. But for some reason, I never made it personal. Either the church didn't help me do that, or more likely, I wasn't listening. We had a band. My brothers and I were all musicians, and we traveled around the country playing music in nightclubs. And this was back in the 1970s during the Osmonds and the Jackson 5, and we were the Matsons. But anyway, when I got done doing that after a few years, I came home just an empty soul. I hadn't become the rock star that I envisioned for some reason. And some friends from high school, names were Randy and Bill and Sam, they shared Christ with me, and their lives had changed pretty dramatically. I was so impressed and so moved, so inspired by the change in their lives that I wanted it for myself. It took me a little while to navigate that, but after about 6 months of them sharing with me, I accepted Christ into my life. And then my life just changed so dramatically. It was a complete 180 from a very self-absorbed, self-centered person to at least starting to focus on other people and share a bit of myself. And so the change, I think, was pretty dramatic in my life, and people around me noticed that, and it had an effect on their lives, too. And I can tell you about that if you want. But, yeah, that's the before, and then the change. How did that happen? They shared Christ with me, these friends from high school, and then what it's like afterward, how your life is different.
What typically comes next after you share your story? I mean, you ask, you know, can I tell you my story in some way? And so you get that opportunity. But what comes next? Do you ask them theirs, or do you often ask their story first?
Yeah. It varies. I try to listen to the Holy Spirit as I'm in these conversations. Yeah. You know, it's one ear to heaven and the other ear in the conversation. So sometimes I might say to them, well, I have a story. Would you mind if I shared it with you? It's my faith story. Mm. And the person will normally say yes. And then I said, and what's your kind of spiritual journey? Have you had spiritual thoughts, spiritual ideas, spiritual principles that you've embraced? I might ask that. Or if the conversation has progressed in a different way and they're really curious about the gospel and my story and so forth, then I might say to them, is that something that would be appealing to you? Is coming to faith in Christ something that you would like for your own life? And is there anything that's holding you back from that right now? And the person might say, yeah, I kind of have some doubts. Well, let's deal with those. Or the person might say, gosh, I can't think of anything right now. So then I'll say, well, now's the time. If you'd like to take a moment now, we can just pray a simple prayer, and you can become a Christian by receiving Christ into your life. And we'll just go right to that. So the answer to your question is, I think it depends where the person is at.
Maybe just more technical. Did you write out your story? I mean, you'd say you have maybe a 1 minute version or a 5 minute or maybe mm-hmm. a 20 minute. I mean, do you have it all written out and kind of, you know, memorized, or just the main points?
I wrote it out.
Okay.
I think it's really good to have a script and then go off script mm-hmm. because we don't want it to sound canned, but people tend to ramble. You start talking about yourself, and unless you're really disciplined, you can go off on rabbit trails. So having it written out, I think, is super helpful. And then you can memorize that. But then don't just recite it from memory. Add flavor into it as you're sharing your testimony. And then you can go off script a little bit. But having it written out for the very first time, I find, is super helpful for people, especially people that are not used to, you know, public speaking or constructing some sort of presentation. I think it's really good to write it out. Other people, just an outline is helpful. Two or three points before, then how it happened, how you met Christ. Two or three points afterward and how your life has changed could be helpful for some people.
Do you feel the obligation to have it sort of buttressed with the scripture verses or anything like that?
I haven't that much. Okay. I still think it's a good idea to quote scripture, even if our culture has moved away from scripture. And you can just say things like, and that's kind of how it, what it says in the Bible. There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Paul, and he was actually a persecutor of Christians. And when he went before the rulers, he told how he met Christ in a very dramatic way on a road, and then how his life changed afterwards. So I might make reference to Scripture. I might quote Scripture. I think that's fair game these days. A lot of people stay away from it. I say let the power of the Word of God have its way into our conversations. See what will happen.
As we talked in the past, there's, I mean, having your story ready, and then it's praying for the opportunity to tell your story too. And that, just say a word about, before I wrap up, about the importance of looking for opportunities and being ready.
Before I walk on an airplane because I travel a lot, or before I go to my golf course because that's my hobby, or before I get into situations at a party or whatever when I know there are going to be folks there who don't know Christ, just stop and pause and say, Lord, how would you use me in this situation? Lord, could I have my sensitivities attuned to your spirit when I walk in here so that you could be directing me into a conversation or a way to serve another person or a way to make a relationship go deeper so that they can see Christ in me as I'm being my authentic self? But so often it's easy to be self-absorbed and we get into our stuff or we get into talking about things that don't matter, and that's fine. I'm not against that. But I think those can be distractions for us sometimes, away from opportunities, away from open doors that the Lord is providing. But if we pray that prayer and we go into these situations listening and watching and seeing what doors the Lord opens, then we can walk through those doors, Neil.
So pray today and in the days to come that God will open up doors for us to share our story, working on putting that together. If you've never done that, looking at your life before, the change, and then the difference after. And we wish you well in doing that. You know, if you want to find out more, you can connect with Rick on his website, rickmatsonoutreach.com. He's been a longtime staffer, apologist for University Christian Fellowship, has written the book called Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics, and we recommend it to you. Rick Matson joining us today here in Connecting Faith.